made about our station and what we've been able to accomplish in 50 years, what our history is about, what our future's about. It was really exciting and fun to be highlighted at that event. I'm proud of the awards we came home with as well. And it's just such a great room to be in with folks that are doing this work, some really impactful work. And this is from 2025. So we're talking like, you know, the Annunciation shootings, Melissa Hortman, the beginnings of the ICE surge at the end of last year, lots of really impactful stories that have happened in Minnesota, national stories that have happened here. And there was a big focus on just how local reporters covering those stories are always going to be closer to the story, closer to who is being impacted. They played a video from people all over the country that were like saying thank you to Minnesota journalists for the work that they have been doing. And it included John Oliver in the video, which was fun. He also made a joke about how, you know, I hope you're enjoying whatever chicken you're eating right now. And there was chicken on everyone's plates. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a great time. And we always appreciate the awards, you know, but it's also just nice to be around greatness and other mm-hmm. people who are doing this kind of work.
That's Chelsea Perkins, our KAXC news director. You can hear the recap from the news team each and every Thursday. And be sure to check out KAXC.org. There's some really incredible work being done each and every day. Thanks, Chelsea.
Thank you. Oh, one more quick thing. Can I say one more quick thing?
Mm-hmm.
Ice cream.
Yes.
I just have to say that Megan Buffington and I both worked at the same ice cream shop many years apart. Yet another thing that we have that is a weird little freaky coincidence, Lake Country Crafts and Cones in Cross Lake.
I like saying that one.
Lake Country Crafts and Cones. Yes. And, I was actually, I was noticed at the Mall of America once when I was a teenager, like, hey, don't you work at that ice cream store in Cross Lake? So yeah, it was pretty famous, you know, and, I tried so many different ice cream flavors there. I could never choose. But I just had to say that
Crafts and Cones.
My left arm was more muscular than my right arm for several summers.
All right.
That is all. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chelsea.
Coming up, we have more news from National Public Radio and then more local news as we continue talking with women in northern Minnesota who are involved and passionate about the towns and the government and the issues that are going on. We're going to be learning about Bovee and what is happening in Bovee. And then we're also going to be talking with some rural women who organize. That's Shanai Mattson and Annie Humphrey. Annie's also going to be our host for On the River tonight at 7 o'clock.
This is 91.7 KAXC Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXC Bagley Bemidji. We operate translator K210DR in Brainerd at 89.9. Since 1976, Northern Community Radio has been telling the stories of the people and land of northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Listen at KAXC.org or on your smart speaker. Keep KAXC people powered into the future with your support now. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth says the U.S. is reviewing its military forces in Europe. Hegseth made the announcement today while speaking at NATO headquarters in Brussels after criticizing allies he says have not done enough to provide for their own security. Hegseth also described as shameful European allies that denied U.S. forces access to their bases for American attacks against Iran. Those countries include France and Spain. A formal signing ceremony is being held in Geneva tomorrow on the deal to end the war between the U.S. and Iran. President Trump says he's signed the Memorandum of Understanding. Two researchers at MIT say they believe they've uncovered how a top-secret Russian missile actually flies. NPR's Jeff Brumfield says Moscow has fired that missile at Ukraine.
In October, Russia launched what it said was a nuclear-powered missile. The missile flew for almost 15 hours, far longer than a regular missile could. Jake Hecla is a researcher at MIT. He says nuclear-powered flight
is something that is possible, but wildly expensive and very dangerous.
Hecla and his colleague Scott Kemp analyzed the missile. They believe it's sucking air directly through its nuclear core and spewing radioactivity as it flies.
As a result, anyone living near is at enormous risk, potentially.
And the missile isn't all that useful, he says. Despite being nuclear powered, it's relatively slow moving and easy to shoot down. Jeff Brumfiel, NPR News.
The latest poll from NPR, PBS News, and Marist shows President Trump's approval ratings have fallen to record lows. One-third of Americans say they approve of Trump's handling of the U.S. economy. That's 3 points lower than President Biden's lowest rating during his 4 years. The poll shows 36% of Americans approve of Trump's overall job performance. The Senate postponed yesterday's confirmation hearing for President Trump's pick to be permanent director of National Intelligence. NPR's Eric McDaniel reports.
President Trump has two demands on Senate Republicans. First, he'll hold back Jay Clayton, his permanent pick as director of National Intelligence, until Clayton's replacement as a federal prosecutor gets confirmed by the Senate. That leaves the very controversial Bill Pulte in the job as acting DNI. Second, Trump says he'll block renewal of a key spy law until Senate Republicans pass his election security bill, the Save America Act. They've tried twice and failed twice because the election bill doesn't have enough support to become law. It's unusual for the president to block the confirmation of his own cabinet nominee and the surveillance tool the government says is responsible for 60% of the material in the president's daily intelligence briefing. Eric McDaniel, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR News. Police in Ohio say they've arrested a second suspect linked to a shooting at a neighborhood street festival in Toledo. It left 12 people wounded. A 20-year-old man was taken into custody yesterday. The other suspect, also 20 years old, was arrested nearly a week earlier. The gunfire erupted on June 6th when large crowds were attending the Old West End Festival in Toledo's historic district. Police say the shooting occurred after a fight between rival groups escalated. Stocks on Wall Street ended lower yesterday after the Federal Reserve decided to leave U.S. interest rates unchanged. NPR's Scott Horsley says the Dow lost more than 500 points, or close to 1%.
The Federal Reserve held its benchmark interest rate steady, but updated forecasts suggest members of the Fed's rate-setting committee expect to raise rates by a quarter percentage point before the end of the year. The news comes as a wartime spike in energy prices has pushed inflation to its highest level in more than 3 years. The Fed's new chairman, Kevin Warsh, vowed he and his colleagues will bring prices under control.
I've said for years inflation is a choice. You bet it is. And today I'm announcing that this committee unambiguously and unanimously have decided we are going to deliver on that.
Warsh also announced the formation of several task forces to review the way the Fed tracks the economy, manages its bond holdings, and communicates with the public. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
Later this morning, the New York Knicks will be honored with a ticker tape parade in Lower Manhattan for winning the NBA championship over the San Antonio Spurs. I'm Dave Mattingly in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Capital One, offering their dining and entertainment card, Saver. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com. And listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
It is 8:09. Thanks for tuning in. This is People Powered, KAXE. Coming up, we're learning about what's happening in the city of Bovee. I'm Heidi Holton with Kari Headland.
Northern Community Radio's Board of Directors meets at 12:30 on Monday, June 22nd on Zoom. This is an open meeting. Members and the general public are invited to attend. For more information, email comments at kaxe.org or call 218-326-1234 during business hours. Regular meetings of our Board of Directors are held the fourth Monday of the month. Board's meeting schedule is available at kaxe.org. And just a reminder to check your email for our Board of Directors election going on through tomorrow. If you haven't seen an email come through and you are a member of KAXE, call Heather, 218-326-1234, or you can email her, heather@kaxe.org.
We'd like to thank the Veteran Mental Health Crisis Response Team of Itasca County for their support. The Crisis Intervention Service is a program of First Call for Help 211, providing free crisis assessments, stabilization services, and more. Trained providers are available to serve fellow veterans 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by dialing 211.
We receive support from the Winnipeg Folk Festival, held this year July 9th through the 12th. Festival presents music from around the world featuring Father John Misty, Sylvan Esso, Jesse Wells, and over 65 more.
Don't forget, coming up tomorrow, we continue on with Football is Life, the beautiful game discussed on KEXE at 8:40 tomorrow. We've been watching soccer because of this, because of hearing about it.
Turning people into fans all through their passion.
Really, really fun. We'll also talk about other sports like the Minnesota Lynx and how well they're doing. And I think the Twins are still playing. I'm not sure, but that'll happen tomorrow at 8:10.
I know hockey's done, though. That's what I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is Sierra Farrell with Years, covering some John Anderson there. Also, Kyle's new obsession. He loves that song.
Oh, okay.
Loves it. So, had to play it this morning. This is the Thursday Morning Show. I'm Kari Hedlund here with Heidi Holton. We receive support from Grand Rapids State Bank, committed to serving the Grand Rapids area for over 110 years. We're at grsb.bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Mostly sunny skies today with highs 64 to 69, breezy northwest winds 10 to 20, and clear tonight, temperatures in the mid-40s, northwest winds from 5 to 10, gusting up to 20. For tomorrow, Friday, chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs 66 to 70 degrees. Now, Kari, as you do, you know, sometimes on the weekend, you end up at like a garage sale or a thrift store, that kind of thing. Sometimes you bump into somebody you know or you've met before who's on fire for their community. And that happened to me. I was at the Bovee City Hall basement at a garage sale. And who do I run into? Who's running the show? Nancy Lynn Meyer.
That's so funny. We had a great conversation, didn't we?
Yes.
Well, I don't always get a chance to have your ear, so I just was like, oh, I have something great to talk about. So.
Yes. Yeah.
What were you on fire about, Nancy Lynn?
Well, we have a new dog park in Bovee, but we have a big plan. We have big goals over in Bovee. So we just opened a new dog park over there. Mm-hmm. On June 1st, we did that. And it's different than every other dog park in the area. So that's kind of why we get excited, because everything that we do, we try to be a little different than other cities.
Okay, so tell me, how do you see this dog park is different?
What was the extra spice? Okay, well, we have a large dog park and a small dog park, like most of them have. But we have a third dog park also, which we call a shy dog park.
Oh, there we go. We've got a peanut gallery yes. here. What is it called?
Shy Dog Park.
Okay.
My dad built it, though.
Aha. Uh-huh. Oh, nice. Okay, so tell me, who's the Shy Dog Park for?
Well, it's for
aggressive
people. Well, no, not aggressive. We're not allowed
really?
To say that word, okay? So we're not allowed to.
Okay, we'll pull that microphone down. We can do that.
We are calling it the Shy Dog Park because it's for people who aren't really sure how their dogs are going to react
sure.
to other dogs. And, I mean, what we heard from people is the main reason why people don't use dog parks is because you just don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, you...
Poop laying around, so you never know.
Well, I think you... Maybe. I mean, I... Yes, you got to watch out.
But there's only one dog allowed in the aggressive dog park, so...
The shy dog park.
All right. Let's say reactive dog park.
Okay.
We're calling it... Well, we aren't supposed to use that word
okay.
either.
Could it also be potentially for like a senior dog that maybe yeah. doesn't have yeah. the ability to play?
Or puppies.
Yeah.
I mean, because even puppies can be a little too excited around the other dogs. I think also it could be for people who have more than one dog, because we expect that in the big dog park that, you know, you have to be in control of your animals by voice. So
We
do have a leash law in and around the park, but when they're in the park, they don't have to have a leash on. But
right,
so we yeah. feel like it's, you know, if you have three dogs, you can go in there, you can shut the door and be alone with your three dogs and let them run, go wherever they want to.
That's hard.
So you don't have to have them all under control at the exact same moment. So
our limit is three dog parks. I mean, what did I say? Three dog parks. Three dogs in town. No more.
Oh, it's a law in Bovee?
Yes.
It is. Okay. It is a law in Bovee.
Wait, is this the mayor of Bovee with us today?
No.
Okay, wow. I'm sorry.
This is Jameson. Sorry, I was about to say his dad's name, but this is Jameson, my grandson.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And he is very much a part of every single thing, it seems like, that goes on in
it sounds like
in Bovee. Yeah. We also have one of the things that makes our dog park different a little bit is we have like play equipment for the dogs in each one of the parks that our mayor actually built some ramps and things like that for them to run on. And then we also have some tires from the
junkyard from my dad.
No.
Okay.
No, that's not true. They are from they are from the Hill Annex Mine. Museum. So,
wait, what?
When they were dividing up things on the museum stuff, you know, we got some of those big old tire tractors. So it was kind of exciting too. And we also have one other thing that's kind of cool is we have this dog sharing library. So we have like one of those, you know, like libraries.
Free little libraries.
Yes.
Yeah.
My grandpa built that. Just to let you know.
Yes, he did. And we just have it filled with sticks and brand new dog toys and stuff. But it's that same idea where you take one, leave one, you know, kind of thing. So
your dog doesn't play with it anymore. Bring it to the little dog library. Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. And there's like balls and bones in there. And treats.
Yeah, Jameson put some dog bones. We have little packs of dog bones in there. Yeah.
They're like this big though.
Okay.
Am I on screenshot?
No, this is a different kind of medium. This is a radio. This is old school.
We just hear you, not see you. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, I like that.
Nice.
Yep.
Okay, so Nancy Lynn, let's talk about what else is going on in Bovee.
You're on the city council.
Yes.
Okay. I go to city council too.
Well, I'm sure you do.
It's
this is not a surprise to me at all.
He's totally on the city council also. At least his opinions are anyways, but.
Registered with the weekly meetings.
Yes, yes. Well, he's very good at it.
One of the things you said you heard from people. So you're trying to create things that people want or need in the city of Bovee. Is it just like getting to know people, or how are you going about finding that information out?
Well, we have a really strong committee for the park committee. So we are, utilizing their opinions. But I don't know. We also do listen to people on Facebook, and we do talk to people. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we really created the dog park, was to bring the community together. I mean, not only, I think that one of our biggest issues in the community right now, in our whole area, is housing and stuff. And so we're trying to make a community that is supportive of, you know, multi-resident buildings and things like that. But they don't really have a place to, you know, run around, and they don't have a place to take their dogs and things like that. So, I mean, so that's one of the things that we're trying to benefit the community with.
Do you guys like jokes? Jokes? Here, I got a good one.
Here, when we're done. Okay. What's your name, by the way? We have Jameson. Jameson, that's right. Okay, so Jameson, we'll get your jokes at the end. How about that? Okay, so save it.
Yeah.
Okay, Nancy Lynn, let's talk about, you are talking about small town, you know, being on a city council in a small town, but you are not from a small town. And so what have you found, right?
How do you know that?
Heidi. Detective Heidi told me.
Very true.
So tell me about that experience of going from the metro to Bovee, and what you've found sort of inspires you about that.
Well, I think that what inspired me is that when I grew up in Maple Grove, right? So, but at that time it wasn't a big city. It was very small town feel, and it was all cornfields, and you know, had our small main street was Osseo, which is still has that small main street feel, you know? And I think that that's why my family kind of migrated to Northern Minnesota, was to keep that small town feel. So, due to some, you know, things in our lives and stuff, we really kind of lost our home feel and lost my parents when I was young and things like that too. And so I think I was always searching all my life for a small town and feeling like home again. And I really found that in Bovee. I mean, I don't know. And it's kind of a funny story, but I never was going to move to Bovee. It was kind of an accident that myself and my husband lost our place to live. We had less than 30 days to find a new place to live. So there was an opening in Bovee, and I told the owner of the house that we were renting that I would never stay there. I wouldn't sign a lease because I was never going to stay there more than a month or so. But we had to, you know, we were desperate. We're still there after, I think that was 12 years ago. So we actually bought the house that we were renting. We just don't leave. I don't know. But I think that there's just such a feel in Bovee that's different. I think because it's the home of the picture, Grace, which, you know, sets us apart from everybody else, that we're the state picture. And but then I also feel like there's just so much history there that's besides that, and so many people who love that town. I think that we had just kind of wanted a park. Originally, it was like, we need a park. And I always wanted to create a park that was for all ages, so that I could, in fact, Jameson was kind of my inspiration for it, because I wanted a park where I could play with my grandson, not sit on a bench and watch him play. And so it's always been something for all of us to, that's been our vision, you know, is to have all ages and all abilities. But yeah, we just wanted a nice park. And then when we started that initiative, people were overwhelmingly like,
I can't.
I'm afraid.
Okay. They're
Oh my gosh, child. Okay. Let's not talk about that one yet.
Okay.
We've had a little bit of vandalism here and there, overwhelmingly, when we put out a fundraiser and we ask for help, it just, I can't believe I am so, and I put that on our beautiful Bovee page at times, that I'm just so overwhelmed with the love for that community and the people mm-hmm. who have grown up there, who don't live there anymore, are willing to donate. They're willing to help. And it's amazing. Like,
so there's a plan for, was there a splash pad? I swear.
Yes.
That was, you told me about that at the
Yes. Cut, yes. That is true.
Show. Okay.
Okay.
Splash pad too.
Okay, but that's okay. That's our secret. Okay. No, it's okay. It's okay. So overall, we still have more things that we want to add to the dog park too. I mean, we need some shade. We're working on some trees. We're going to do some fundraisers for those kind of things. But we are planning to put a splash pad in the dog park. But this came from our splash pad representative, because we have been working on the splash pad, a big splash pad.
For people.
Yeah. We've been working on that for over a year now and designing it. The group, it was a little harder than I think we thought it was going to be, but we finally have our final plans and everything. We're very excited about that. We need a lot of money for that though.
Mm-hmm.
But in putting the water in for the splash pad, and we're hoping to do that this year, we're just going to draw a line. We're going to put the line a little bit farther. It'll run right into the dog park. And so we're just going to have like a little area right there that has like a little bit where dogs can drink or run through the water and stuff like that. And so it just has like a little play area and stuff. It's quite small, but it'll be fun. I mean, and our splash pad representative said, nobody else in Minnesota has one of these yet. So you got to do this. So we're like,
well, and you guys are going to be for the people splash pad. I mean, I know that around here, as a parent, yes. I hear a lot of people yes. asking for splash pads. So yeah. you guys are going to be on the forefront of that for this area.
Yes. We just keep crossing our fingers and we're looking for sponsors and we're just doing all our fundraisers and it's not a done deal yet.
Okay.
So, okay. But we are very excited.
My grandma, both grandmas, and they're both nurses. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's a psych nurse, though.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, that's why I'm a little different than everybody else, because I'm a psych nurse, yeah.
She's a little weird. No, just kidding.
Aren't we all, Jameson?
Yes.
We're all a little weird.
Also, of course, coming up, how many years has the Farmer's Day?
Oh, yeah, what year are we on for that?
Celebration will be coming up in Labor Day weekend.
Oh, my gosh, I don't know. Are we at 112? Wow. 113?
Like yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
How old is the Titanic? 100?
Jameson loves the Titanic more than you can even.
The
know.
Titanic movie is better. It's my favorite movie.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's totally into history too. It's kind of one of our things that we love to do together.
I'm a Fitzgerald too, so.
Oh, sure.
So does my dad.
Sure.
Yeah.
But that'll be coming up Labor Day and lots of stuff. So if people want to know what's going on in Bovee, should they be following Facebook?
Yeah, we do. Or, we put everything on Facebook and all of our fundraisers.
Do we?
Bovee Farmers Day is kind of its own. It has its own separate committee, which is very exciting right now because they're on fire too, putting in some new things and stuff like that. And then there's Beautiful Bovee, which is kind of the group that we put on things for this community and take care of all the green spaces and things like that in town. There is a park committee page also where we kind of, you know, put up our new ideas and things like that. So, and then the city of Bovee just got its own page too. So we got a little bit of everything.
You guys have a lot of,
just put in the word Bovee and we got lots now.
Yeah. And I even have a little sister too. So,
wow.
So,
oh so Jameson, all right, now's your time to shine. Give us a joke. Lay it on us.
One joke. Do the best one.
Let me think.
oh, man.
What does a cowboy drive to work?
A steer.
A Bronco.
Oh, a Bronco. Dang it.
That was pretty good.
Why don't you play poker in a jungle?
Poker in a jungle? What's that?
There's too many cheetahs. Cheaters. Cheetahs. Get it?
I'll get it.
Okay. That's it.
Nancy. Mama, mama.
Nancy Lindmeyer and her grandson, Jameson, talking about the city of Bovee. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Yes,
thanks.
Of course.
Coming up next, we've got local news from our region. It's the Up North Report.
For
KAXE News, I'm Chelsea Perkins with the Up North Report. The Gilbert Police Chief is looking for some landlord accountability after a recent crime surge in the city's rental community. Iron Range Today reports a series of drug busts and violent incidences this spring were an uncommon run for Gilbert, which typically includes one second-degree assault arrest each year. So far in 2026, there have been three, all tied to rentals. Rentals make up about 10% of the small city's housing stock, but 33 of the last 37 search warrants executed for methamphetamine were at rentals, including the second largest bust in the city's history in May, where 2 pounds of meth were seized. More than half of total disturbance calls originate from rental units. The city of Gilbert does not have a rental ordinance, but in recent city council meetings, it's being considered, such as a policy requiring landlords to register their tenants and keep current contact information with the city. The U.S. Senate later this summer is expected to dig deeper into the next farm bill following House approval back in April. A Minnesota farmer hopes politics stay out of the final push and fairness for non-corporate operations is a priority. James Connie is a dairy farmer from Renville County who recently traveled to Washington, D.C. He was pushing for certain provisions in the sprawling agricultural policy. He says the process in recent years has become so fraught with partisan approaches that smaller independent operations like his are left fighting for scraps.
We're just playing whack-a-mole. We're just trying to bat down the biggest of the problems and to support maybe one or two things that we can add to the farm bill that would be a positive.
In the Senate version, he'd like to see language that compels federal agencies to enforce existing antitrust rules covering agriculture. He and like-minded farmers also want mandatory country of origin labeling for beef. In defending their version, House Republicans say it bolsters risk management for food producers, supports rural communities, and addresses foreign investment in U.S. farmland. In last year's One Big Beautiful Bill Act, congressional Republicans addressed other elements of the farm bill, including controversial changes to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Moves were also made related to conservation funding. Connie says work is still needed to get healthy land management support in the right hands.
There is simply not enough funding for the amount of demand. You need to have caps on what people can get under some of those programs because that is part of what's funding the concentration in agriculture.
Thanks to Minnesota News Connection for this story. The city of Hermantown has opened the second public comment period regarding the proposed Google Data Center campus. This comment period focuses on the draft Alternative Urban Area-Wide Review, or AUAR, and its associated mitigation plan. This is the second area-wide review the city has completed for the controversial project that is the subject of litigation. The other occurred before it was specifically identified that a data center was behind the, quote, light industrial development. The study area includes approximately 275 acres in the southwest corner of the city. This is a smaller geographic footprint and scale than the initial study adopted in October of last year. Hermantown and Google jointly agreed to the updated study with current information allowing for greater specificity. An AUAR is a tool used to understand how different development scenarios may affect the environment before development occurs. It's a multi-step process and includes plans mandating how development will manage environmental impacts, as well as multiple public comment periods. This 30-day comment period will close July 16th. You can view the draft and other associated documents at the city's website. Voices for Ethnic and Multicultural Awareness will host the 6th annual Iron Range Juneteenth celebration from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Friday in Virginia. The family-friendly event will feature music, vendors, family activities, and free food until noon. Juneteenth is observed annually on June 19th and commemorates the day in 1865 when more than 250,000 enslaved people in Texas learned they were free. This came more than 2 years after President Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. That's it for the Up North Report from the KAXE News Desk. I'm Chelsea Perkins, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is sponsored by Woodland Bank, with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Dedicated to serving the financial needs of the community and their customers. More info at woodland.bank.
Good morning. It is 8 Almost 8:35. Thanks for tuning in at 9 o'clock. DJ Dang is our host for Headwaters.
And as Jennifer Barr said, happy Paul McCartney's birthday to all who celebrate. that was her check-in this morning. Love that, Jennifer.
Obviously she does.
Obviously. Support on KAXC comes from UPM Blandin Paper, a provider of renewable material solutions with a focus on sustainability and innovation. Additional information is available at upm.com. Also want to thank Dale's Auto Body, serving the auto body needs of Grand Rapids and surrounding communities since 1984, performing auto body and collision repair as well as auto glass replacement, dedicated to getting you back on the road after an accident. More information at dalesautobodyinc.com.
Coming up at 1 o'clock, our volunteer hosted On the River, Dave the Wave is our host, and Annie Humphrey tonight at 7 o'clock. I'm hearing the birds outside the window. It sounds like you're whispering. You're not, right?
I'm not
whispering. I'm going, what? What's going on, Kari?
Do you know what we have out at our cabin?
Well, it must be a bird.
Yep, and it's a bird that I've referenced already that I saw out
Oriole?
My window. There are a couple orioles, and we saw the nest. Oh. Have you ever seen an oriole nest?
No.
It is fascinating. So it almost like hangs on a branch,
oh.
And it's like a real wispy nest.
Sure.
But, and somehow can hold them. Animals are insane.
I know.
I just can't, it's so reductive to say that, but they are, they're amazing.
Yes. How does it happen? You know, I saw a black bear last night.
Yes.
We heard from Craig, who said he saw one yesterday just south of Floodwood, the center of everything. Fascinating that their coat is so black that no light reflects off them, and they look like a black hole, a cardboard cutout. Unless you're very close, it's hard to see any individual features, but their outline. Good point, Craig.
Oh, love that, Craig. And then we heard from Tim in Maple Grove, who said, in my youth, a highlight of warm summer afternoons was to walk uptown for ice cream cones with my cousin. A cafe in Monaga had a whirl-a-whip machine.
Mm.
It would run ice cream through it with no milk, and you got what would now be called a soft serve cone. They would make cones based on what flavors were in their freezer. They preferred that we only order chocolate or vanilla. Nothing makes a sweeter memory than being on summer vacation on a blue skies midsummer day, walking around uptown, eating a yummy tall whipped cone with your favorite cousin. Oh, thanks, Tim. We've been talking ice cream and some of your favorite ice cream shops, ice cream mm-hmm. flavors.
Mm-hmm.
Do you make ice cream? You can text us 218-326-1234. It's the KAXE question of the week. We receive support from Rapids Brewing Company, a place for gathering and community, featuring live music multiple times a week, farm fresh food, and rotating beers from their own brew house. More information about their events, music, and menu available at rapidsbrewingco.com.
Let's take a listen to, you told me about this song by the Penny Peaches.
Oh, yes. Okay. So can I just talk about them for one sec?
Yeah.
First of all, thank you to everyone who came out to Festival Rialto last weekend. It was cold and windy, like almost requested that Kyle bring me some gloves because it was so cold for a little bit there. But people who came, they stayed. It was such a great day of music. And the side stage was so fun. Forge North, Tattletale, and Sugar on the Roof, Laura Hugo, and the Penny Peaches, who were just as delightful in person as I thought they would be. They're sisters. Their harmonies are insane. Kind of a mix between, as Tim Saxhog said, First Aid Kit and the Everly Brothers, with a little, to me, a little Big Thief thrown in, like a little bit of a quirkiness, maybe Moldy Peaches. And they're so great. So we're going to hear a new song from them called Birthday.
I heard it was your birthday. So why are you a mess? Skin and bones won't haunt you like the demons in your head. Another sinking bobber. this one was the catch. Go for crisis activation. Hard to parse it from the rays. Self-loathing ostracized. Can't look me in the eyes at all. 'Cause you don't want me. You just don't want to be alone.
That is Birthday by the Penny Peaches, brand new music from them, and new Minnesota music, which be sure to tune into Minnesota Mixtape every Friday at 10 a.m. and Saturdays at 3, hosted by Malachi Coons. He gives you a tour of what's going on in music throughout our state of Minnesota. This is the Thursday morning show. I'm Kari Hedlund here with Heidi Holton, and we want to thank our business supporters for programming on KAXE, like Sanford Bemidji Heart and Vascular Center, expanding cardiology services to our region. More at sanfordhealth.org.
Thanks also to the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, dedicated to conserving the rich ecological landscape of Minnesota, offering memberships, educational camps, and habitat projects. More info available at mndeerhunters.com.
Friends of the Brainerd Public Library are continuing their Brown Bag Author Series on Monday at noon. Alan Eskins will talk about his most recent book, The Quiet Librarian. Feel free to bring your own lunch or enjoy the light refreshments provided.
Today, it is a Juneteenth Freedom Walk. Kutaska Community Action is hosting this. It begins at 10 a.m. at Old Central School in Grand Rapids. The 2.5-mile walk symbolizes the 2.5 years it took for the news of freedom to reach all enslaved people in the United States. Register by emailing alicem@kutaska.org.
And rural women are invited to Meeting Our Moment, Rural Women Rising Together, on Monday from 5 to 7 in Palisade in rural Aiken County. The grassroots group will host a power potluck and speakers, including Palisade Mayor Gaylene Bolarich, Nevada Little Wolf of Women Winning, and Annie Humphrey of Fire in the Village. And joining us now to talk about that and a lot more is Annie Humphrey and Shania Mattson. Good morning. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Good morning. Thank you.
Morning. It's really nice to be here.
Well, you know, the morning has been really interesting of featuring rural women talking about the things they care about in their communities. And that's how I would describe the both of you.
Yeah, I kind of talked to Shania about growing up in Cass Lake, and my mother was an activist, and she was always alone in it. She never had a community around her. So only recently in my life, I realized there's a community of women doing stuff like Shania.
Yeah, and it's really great to be working with Annie and traveling around our region. It's making me reflect a lot on growing up here. I grew up in Palisade in Aiken County, also with a lot of women around me. Mm-hmm. The women have always been the real leaders in I think our rural communities, taking care of kids, taking care of community, solving problems with what they've got. So yeah, that's really the spirit of the gathering that we're having on Monday as well.
And you guys also art plays a part in this for the both of you and can be a real bridge to people coming together.
Yeah. Art, I think, has always been that to me. Even, as far back as I can remember, but actually my mother, the activist, she was an artist as well, a visual artist, photographer, poet, author. She was just really creative. And so I kind of learned from her that I could use what I picked up from her. And the real moment for me was in 1985. I was in high school still. And I was dabbling at songwriting, and I went and saw the film Rattle and Hum with U2. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, I'm like, that's what I want to do. So, I went that direction. Mm-hmm. It was really.
And now that's what you're doing, and that's what we're doing, which is super awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Fire in the Village, which is our little arts and culture org.
Which is it now? It's over a year.
Yeah. 2 years.
2 years. Now, okay. I was wondering.
I think. Yeah, and it's been about a year that we've had room 203 in the old Central School, which has really been our homeroom and a hub where we are doing all kinds of creative stuff. Like last night we had our monthly print potluck, and the room was just full of people, all ages. We had little babies there as well as elders, and we were printmaking.
Mostly eating.
Yeah. Oh,
there's not a lot of printing going on, but that's... It's great. It's just so fun. Yeah. The room is like chaotic.
Yeah. And what we're finding is that in our space here, but in the other spaces that we visit as artists, people are really hungry for that kind of community space where, we're really getting together around the things that matter to us. Mm-hmm. We're making and sharing food. Sometimes we're making art, but mostly what we're doing is visiting. And we're hearing about, what's going on in our communities, what's going on in our lives. And art is such a great way to gather.
Yeah. And I think people don't even realize how much they need to be around other people until they get around other people. And then they're like, wow, this is so cool. So, try it. Get out and be with people.
Yeah, that communal experience and things like food and art and music are such good unifying factors, and it almost like gives an automatic icebreaker for an event. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the event on Monday, I do want to talk about a little bit. What do you, is it for women leaders? Is it for anybody? Is it for, what are you hoping to get out of it?
Well, the idea for that event was really sparked because both Annie and I, we spend a lot of time in community. Mm-hmm. And as we're doing that, we're hearing about things that are happening and the people who are making those things happen. And a lot of the people making those things happen in our region are women. And so the idea was to just have a get together, lift up some of the women in our region who are doing really cool stuff. Some of them are, they're like official leaders in that way, like they were elected into those positions or they're campaigning to be elected. But a lot of them are just grassroots people, women who are, they notice that something is needed in their community and they get together and make it happen. And so we'll be sharing food. Annie's going to make fry bread, actually. And she'll talk maybe in a minute about why fry bread. But we're also going to be hearing from Nevada Little Wolf from Women Winning. She's from this region here. And a number of the people, like I said, who are stepping up to take on these leadership roles at a time that, it's a hard time right now for a lot of people. And that's another thing that we've been hearing. So Annie, maybe you want to share this idea of the magical fry bread drive-in, because after the meeting on Monday, we're going to be heading out on tour.
Yeah, so it actually came from a book that I read. And in this book, there's a place that every story is written by a Native author. They're from tribes all over the U.S., and someone put this book together. Mm-hmm. And what the book has in common, every story has in common is this place, the legendary Fry Bread Drive-In, where people stumble upon it by accident, like Narnia. They're walking through a trail at the end of the road on the res, and they see it. Oh, that wasn't there before, and there's a big yellow sign, and they walk down this trail. Opens up into this people milling about, green picnic tables, people beating, people talking. There's a food food stand with the food of whatever people who have passed away are there, and people from other eras, hippies are there. So it's this really cool place. And after I finished the book, I'm like, God, it'd be so cool if this was real. And I thought, well, why not? Why can't this be real? So I didn't want to get into copyright problems, so the magical fiber drive-in. And so we're trying to recreate that, and it's evolving. Of course, it's going to evolve, and I think we're going to stay in this magical fiber drive-in mode for a couple of years till it evolves into what it's going to be, because a lot of stuff me and Shania start, we have this preconceived idea of what it's going to be, and then it's never that. Mm-hmm. It's better. So it was, as long as you're not trying to control things and keep it like inside your little lane, it's that's all it's ever going to be. So you kind of got to let go, let things happen, and see what happens. So on Monday, part of the women leadership, I'm going to bring my fashion show. Mm-hmm. Because it kind of makes that statement of everybody has a role and every role is important. I think that, you know, policymaking is important, but that's not my gig. I think that, you know, getting in the streets is important, but that's not my gig either. But I can do music, and I can do visual art, and that's not everybody's gig. So it's really important that we all, you know, take on what is our gift, what is our strength, what is our passion, and just use it to uplift the people. And that's really as simple as it gets. And that, not to get too deep, but I think that's our purpose in life, is to be helpers to one another, be helpers to all the living things, all of creation. And if we could just do that, in my opinion, you know, think just everything would be really cool overall.
Yeah. And I just love that, you know, that was your impulse, Annie, to say, wow, what if that was real? And then you make it real.
Make it happen.
I mean, that's the power of art. And that's why artists, I think, are some of, you know, I mean, I'm saying this as an artist, but, you know, some of the most creative leaders that we have around are actually also artists.
Well, John Trudell made that statement. In these times, the poets and musicians and artists are going to be the high priests. Whatever a high priest is, I'm not sure.
Well,
sounds
and
cool, though.
Also, you guys as artists, in talking with people and in being organizers, having the mindset of like it's open and it's going to become when it's going to become, that's because you're artists and you understand that the
doesn't
idea
have to be predestined.
Changes all along the way. And sometimes our leaders don't understand that. There's a need to just... we're doing this for this, and this has got to be this way. And it's novel to hear about that. And yeah. And very women do that too, are more open to that.
I think the other thing that we do as artists and also as women is we're really good listeners. I mean, we have to be, because we have to be aware of what's going on around us so that we can take care of each other and keep each other safe. And that means that when we're out in these art spaces in the community and we're hearing things, we're able to turn that into the gathering that we need. And I think this concept of the fry bread drive-in is so cool because, you know, fry bread has such a powerful story about what it means.
Story. I forgot all about that, you guys. So fry bread, why fry bread? Because fry bread is a symbol of resilience. It's a symbol of making lemonade out of lemons. It's because the people were removed from their lands, not just here on these reservations, but every reservation, this whole country, the removal of Native people, indigenous people onto reservations and into forts and whatever existed then. And we lived on rations. So like our way of life, there was no more, you know, hunting for deer or maple sugar or ricing. And it was a ration of, you know, the like quesacola. He talks about it too. Flour, lard, sugar, salt, baking powder, and that's all you. And water is all you need to make fry bread. That's the recipe, you guys. I just gave it out. Secret. So they made fry bread, and we still make it. It didn't like die out, right? Everybody makes fry bread. Every tribe has their former
version.
Yes. Thank you, Kari. Version of fry bread, yes. And I think even going beyond fry bread, I think a lot of different cultures of people who are in the United States now, who come from other places, they have whatever their fry bread is because their people had to withstand hard times. That's probably why they came to this continent, I mean, this country. So hard times, you know, make people resourceful and however you got to survive it throughout history and among all people, we have. We all have. You have. We all have. And I think that's what makes us similar. So I think we're forming new fry breads now because of the times we're in. There are new things forming up that are going to get us through these hard times about, you know, people being kidnapped and deported and ICE and how people are surviving that. When we come out of it, we're going to have a new fry bread, I think. And we can use that fry bread for the next hard thing that comes because they keep coming. I am not in this dream world that human beings are going to start treating each other well. I don't. And so I think we just need to keep teaching our children. And that's what Shania and I, we're trying to influence. And you know, there are different words people use. Influence is not even a good word. But we like to get into the schools and middle school level, make them value themselves and find the art in themselves. And I want to actually transition from being a stage singer. I want to be a college and university lecturer. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try and do that in my spare time. And
all your spare time.
I was just going to say.
Yeah.
Like you're on the radio later today.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I got to go prime my pump. Hey, I'm getting running water. I got a pump in my yard, but I'm working with trying to get water.
Yeah.
Water.
I love that story, Annie. And I think you're right that we all have, all of our communities have that. And I think for a lot of communities in this region in particular, there's a sort of resourcefulness like that because we live pretty rural. Mm-hmm. A lot of us have to travel pretty far. And, you know, if you think about when something's going on in our communities here, we often have a potluck. Or we come together, you know, around to help somebody who's sick or something like that. And so that's been part of the conversation too in community is like potluck people power. Yeah. You know, like we do know how to take care of each other.
Yeah. So this Magical Fry Bread Drive-In is going to be, the plans are to bring, it's a tour, a little bit of a mini tour.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep. It is a tour, a mobile mini music fest. Okay. Here's the full name. Both of my grandmothers, Mamie Mae's Magical Fry Bread Mini Mobile Music Fest.
How many M's is that?
But Jesus, who helps us create our flyers, thought maybe that was too many words to put on there.
What was the question again?
When does it begin and how do people, yeah.
Oh yeah, so we're going on tour. We're beginning in Duluth on the roof of the ACO building with the big water protector as our backdrop. It'll be the first show on the ACO ever. So we're going to go and do that. We also have with us, we'll have two poets. Okay, one is a black poet from San Diego, and the other is a local Leech Laker poet and me. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be different. But the other thing about this whole tour, everybody, is that each of the artists, the printmaking, the fry bread, it is real art. Okay, making fry bread is art. The printmaking and the carving and the stamping is art. The poetry, the music, it's all art. But also within all of that, there are conversations to be had. It's not going to be really light, fun entertainment. Mm-hmm. There will be truths being thrown out there, you know, and things to think about being presented. And I think that's the important thing is just get people thinking. You don't have to agree, but think about it. And maybe you know, you make that's up to you. So we start in Duluth on the 23rd, then we travel to Minneapolis on the 24th, and we'll be at the All Saints Episcopal Mission on Longfellow. And they are also the home of the First Nations Kitchen. And the next night we'll be at Hook and Ladder, that's the 25th at the Hook and Ladder. You need to buy tickets online for Hook and Ladder. So if you're listening out in Minneapolis, please get a ticket. And from there, we come home for a while.
Yeah. We go to Aiken, and then we go to Aiken.
And then we go to Aiken on
Monday. And Aiken at Sampa Guida, and that's a little music venue in town that does so much great community stuff. Yes. And you know, there's a lot of people in Aiken who are connected up with what we're doing through you know some of the work there. So.
And then after Sampa Guida,
Bemidji,
yes, at the Headwaters School, And we will be fundraising for their music program that they provide music lessons for Native students out of the Voyager School. And it's a really great program, you guys. And it's only $45, $45 a month. We'll give one student lessons for a month because the Headwaters matches it and the school transports them to it. So